Your business is on the runway, ready for takeoff, yet your team is not even making contact. You're exhausted, and the business needs to make more money to stay successful. What do you do next? Welcome to Ask the Coach with professional business coach Oliver Basner. If you're ready to soar to new heights with your business and be the pilot of your own successful destiny, stay tuned. We're ready to roll. Now, here's your host, Oliver Basner.
Hi, everyone. Oliver Basner here with this week's episode of Ask the Coach. We're going to talk about performance reviews and feedback this week. So, you know, how to do them? Are they important? You know, there's a new train of thought out there in the business community that maybe we should get rid of performance appraisals completely. They don't work and they're demotivating for the staff. And so let's talk about that today. I want to talk about not only what I've used in the past, I'm going to share with you, you know, what my thoughts are, but let's start with why are they even important? So, you know, if we're talking about performance reviews in general, are they important? Do we need to do them? Right? And, you know, what are some of the things that we need to think about when we are looking at doing them? Well, first of all, it doesn't matter who we're talking about. People want to know how they're doing. Right. And so, you know, when we look at, and we had Dr. Paul White on a show a few weeks back, and he talked about, he's the author of The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. And so he talked about, you know, the need for appreciation. Just to give you a couple of stats around that, you know, 79% of employees who quit their jobs cite lack of appreciation as a key reason for their leaving. 65% of North Americans, so that's 2 out of 3. Report they received no recognition or appreciation at their workplace in the past year. 2 out of 3 people are saying they received no recognition or appreciation in the last year. That's a horrifying stat. And so, you know, so is this another way that we can have a systemized approach and a way of appreciating people? And so, first of all, people want to know that they're doing well. I've said that before. I stand by that. I've had I've had hundreds of different people report to me over the years in my corporate life, and people want to know they're doing well. And it's not a replacement. This is not, you know, the annual performance review or quarterly or semi-annual, how often you want to do them. This is not a replacement for good communication and feedback. I mean, if this is the only time your people hear from you, that's a problem. Right? And so that's why we're talking about this today. Like, when do performance reviews not work? Well, when you've got a weak manager or a weak leader who doesn't want to have the ongoing difficult conversations to help an employee either improve or help an employee leave. Right? And so if they're waiting for the annual performance review to have that discussion, that's probably too late. Right? And I'm adamant about that. You don't want to leave the tough conversations to the end, and you don't want to leave the positive conversations to the end. Let people know how they're doing on an ongoing basis. So first of all, what are some of the benefits? Well, you can improve the competencies of the people, right? So if you're having regular and ongoing reviews with them, you can help them move forward on some of the targets and goals that have been set out that they've agreed to accomplish. You know, you can address any ongoing concerns that they may have, right? Because now you've got an opportunity for some two-way communication. You possibly could use this as an opportunity to discuss compensation. Now, there's two trains of thought. One is, you know, performance reviews should be separated from compensation, or performance review should be part of the compensation conversation. I've seen both. I've seen both work, and I've seen them both work well. You know, one company I worked for years ago, we knew that based on what our review results were going to be, was also going to impact what our bonus level was going to be, because it was on a sliding scale based on your review. And it also enables a manager or leader to access their people's long-term goals and plans, right? If you don't know where your people want to be in 3 to 5 years, how can you help them get there? And how can you create an opportunity for their vision to be created within the organization that they're already with? You know, it can also be a great source of information regarding, you know, your manager's leadership skills, right? So if there's two-way communication going on, now you also have an opportunity to get some feedback about your own leadership skills, right? So if you're doing the review and you're open and honest and willing to hear the feedback, you know, if you create that safe space for the individual to share, they might actually be able to give you some insights and some nuggets about your own leadership style and how you could improve and get better. So I think there's a lot of great reasons why we should continue with performance reviews, regardless of the articles that are out there that say, you know, maybe they're old and they're dinosaurs and we should get rid of them. I think they're old and they're dinosaurs if you're using them as the only time you're going to communicate with your people. Yeah, then why bother? Right? If you're only going to communicate with them once or twice a year and it's a performance review time and that's where everybody's dreading the conversation, then that's not a good use of them. But if you're having good ongoing communication with your team and constantly helping them move forward and looking at the targets, then this just becomes a way of kind of summarizing and having some great dialogue and making the process a little bit more formal. So, in terms of performance reviews, what are some things that you want to be aware of? Well, first of all, you want to be prepared, right? So it's not, oh, I got this performance review with Sally in an hour. I better get this thing done, right? Because the HR department demands it. I'm sorry, but that's not enough time to prepare. You need to give this some thought. It's not about how is Sally doing in the last month. It's how has Sally been doing in the last, if this is a semi-annual one, how's she been doing the last 6 months? If this is an annual one, how's her year been, right? Start pulling some data, start pulling some stats. Hopefully you've been keeping some notes in a folder on each of your people. Like that's how you become prepared for performance reviews. You know, use employee self-assessments. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, how you can use self-assessments from the employees themselves so you can do a little bit of a comparison. And I'll show you and share with you kind of the tool that I've used in the past. You know, avoid being too vague, right? Again, if you don't want to have kind of a real conversation with people, then, you know, being too vague, and that's also a sign that you're just not prepared. That's not good. Now, if you have to have a tough conversation, I've always said, you know, when I've had managers and people that I've led that had to do reviews, if you've got a tough conversation coming, first of all, it better not be a surprise, right? There better have been some ongoing dialogue before performance review time twice a year. And secondly, you better have some facts, right? Because if you're going to say, well, you know what, I'm just not thinking that you're putting in a full, you know, 40-hour work week, for example. Like, you know, you're here late, you leave early, you show up late. You better have some facts, right, on this day. And, you know, because they'll say, well, what do you mean? I'm here on time every day, right? And I stay extra hours, right? And they may be genuinely thinking they stay extra hours, but that happens once a week, but they're late four times a week. So have documented situations where you can, you know, kind of show that you've actually got something to back up what you're saying. It's not just a gut feeling. And then, you know, the follow-up needs to happen as well. So if you've set some targets with your people, then when are you following up? How are you helping them achieve success and results? So that's, you know, kind of the foundation of how you do a proper performance review and how you start giving feedback to your team. And so when we look at some of the key points around performance reviews, well, first of all, they should be scheduled on a regular cycle. So whether you're going to do them quarterly, semi-annually, you're going to do them annually, you know, that's one of the key points of making sure you're doing it, is that it's got to be scheduled and put it in your calendar. If you're a larger company, your HR department should be monitoring that and letting people know when it's time to get them done and give some notice and have kind of a deadline date as to when they, you know, the information gets delivered, and you have that two-way conversation. You notice I didn't say one-way conversation. I said two-way conversation. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, because I firmly believe that nothing in that performance review meeting should come as a surprise ever, right? If this is the first time they're hearing they're not doing a good job, that means you as a leader haven't done a good job in terms of giving them ongoing feedback and letting them know where they could be improving, you know, over the last 6 months on a semi-annual review basis. And it shouldn't be a replacement for good ongoing regular communication. You know, that needs to be stressed. You should be having regular communication with your people, regular dialogue. Even if they're off-site, I've had sales teams that have been national where I didn't see them more than maybe three, sometimes four times a year. But there was regular dialogue that we had, regular ongoing communication via telephone, or we had scheduled meetings and they could update me, and we had ways of them reporting back what was going on in their territories. So again, this isn't a replacement for other bad systems or non-existent systems or practices that you currently have in your company. And really, this should be a two-way conversation. It should be two-way feedback. You know, they should be sharing maybe what they're, and they should be anticipating to come to the meeting with this. Like what, you know, tell us about one thing that you want to move forward on in the next year. Like what's one ambition you have? You know, also come prepared. You know, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years? Like what do you want to be doing, right? Where do you want to be moving towards? What do you want to learn in terms of some additional skills and new things, right? Because they might very well blend in with exactly what the corporation or the company is doing anyway. And so those are the points in terms of starting to have really good performance reviews versus, you know, the companies who make them an annual mandate and then everybody hates it. You know, it was a great cartoon that I found years ago. And the manager is standing there on the outside of a building. So he's climbed out of the window and he's on the ledge because he's got to now do a performance review with an employee. And then around the corner on the other window is the employee who's climbed out on the ledge, same ledge, just around the corner of the same building. And they're on the ledge because they're about to get their review. So, you know, it really becomes one doesn't want to give it and one doesn't want to receive it. So it becomes very painful. Well, if that's what the impression is of doing reviews in your company, then you've got a problem that you need to look at and need to consider. How do you fix that? You know, so we're going to go to break here. I'm going to give you we're going to go to a quick commercial break. And then when I come back, I'm going to give you some competencies and how we've put these reviews together in the past when I've led teams. And so give you maybe some new ideas that you can use to improve whatever systems you currently have in your company for annual performance reviews. So hang with us. We'll be right back.
Propelling your business to new heights is easier than you think. Sonic Breakthrough Coaching can help provide the right tools you need to get there. Sonic Breakthrough Coaching works with business owners to improve both team and financial performance, and with a proven track record of successfully helping owners and leaders turn around negative performance and morale and soar sales and profit performance to new levels. The time is now. Sonic Breakthrough Coaching, helping good businesses break through to great. Visit soniccoaching.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the Coach with myself, Oliver Basner, and we are talking about performance reviews and feedback today. And so if you're just joining us since the break, just to recap, you know, some of the key points that I shared was, first of all, it's got to be scheduled. Your reviews have to be scheduled on a regular basis, whether that's quarterly, semi-annually, or annually. Nothing in that meeting, and I'm going to say this again, nothing in that meeting should ever be a surprise. They should already know what you're going to be talking about because you've had some ongoing dialogue prior to the forced or the annual review time. It's not a replacement for ongoing and good regular communication. And lastly, there should be time allowed in that review process for two-way communication and two-way feedback from both individuals, not only from the manager to the employee, but also from the employee back to the manager, right? And we can capture some of that in the document if it's set up correctly. So I'm going to take you through one of the review processes that, performance appraisal or performance review templates that we've used in the past. And it's very simple. It was broken out into four sections. And we kept it simple for a reason, because if you make it too complicated, it's too hard to maintain and it's too hard to stay on top of. So it all starts with key competencies. So key competencies are competencies that you've laid out in advance at the beginning of the year. So things that are going to get measured. And so we used to use anywhere, depending on the size of the company, anywhere from 6 key competencies to 4 key competencies. And I'm going to give you the list here in a minute on the ones that we've picked from in the past. And so you're going to have an opportunity to kind of see exactly how I've done it in my past. So 3 of those, or 4 in the larger company, 4 of those competencies were competencies that were the same for everybody in the organization. So it didn't matter what level or what job you had. I'll give you an example. Taking ownership was one of them. Being a team player was another one. So those were what we called corporate competencies. We expected everybody to be a team player and everybody to take ownership. That was 2 of them, right? And we would have 4 of those. And then we would have 3 again, if it's a smaller company, 4 in the larger company. We would have 4 competencies that were either specific to that individual. So it might be something around attendance. If that individual has a problem showing up for work on time or has an attendance problem, right? So we would measure specifically for that period or that year usually. The attendance would be one of their competencies. Or the other way you could break it out is if you've got, let's say, half a dozen or a group of district managers that report for you, so they're all in the same kind of job class, you could have four competencies that are unique to that job class. So your district managers might have one set of four competencies plus the four that are corporate. And possibly you had salespeople that might have four competencies that are unique to the salespeople and plus the four corporate ones. So that's how we would break it out. So let me go through the list of the competencies, and we'll give you an opportunity to request these from us if you wish at the end of the show. So our competencies, the master list that we had from picking from, and I don't have time on the show to read them all to you. So, you know, so taking ownership was one of them. I'll read you this one just so you know what I mean. But so taking ownership is takes initiative for own job and improving work environment and procedures. Doesn't rationalize or give excuses in response to feedback, owns the result of work, good or bad, and does not shift blame to others. And then from there, we'd have almost never does this, sometimes does this, mostly does this, or almost always does this. We're not perfect. We're humans, right? No, nobody's going to always do it, but almost always, right? And so we would, you know, based on the eight competencies that we've identified for the year, during our review time, so let's say there was a semi-annual sit-down where we'd review it again, or a quarterly, we'd have them fill out their eight where they thought they were. So if they're saying, well, I'm almost always doing this, and I was seeing them as sometimes doing this, then that would start a conversation. So let's talk about why we have a gap in perception between the two of us, right? And believe me, I've had this. I've had where people thought they were, you know, doing everything fantastic, and I saw them totally differently. And so that would really allow us on each competencies to dig really deep, have a specific conversation on each competency on what was going on and what needed to improve. So as I said, I'm not going to read them all to you, but at the end of the show, we'll give you an opportunity if you want, just request the actual document from us and we'll send it to you. But here are the competencies that we would pick our eight competencies from. So it was taking ownership, being a team player, attendance, change management, assertiveness, energizing, policy and procedures, alertness. So alertness was an interesting one, being able to be attentive to all aspects of the environment while working, to monitor environment during routine activity, right? So alertness, right? That could be if you're in a role where, you know, you're not alert and people get killed, then maybe alertness becomes a very important one in your role. Analytical problem solving, goal setting, written communication, commitment to the task, interaction, perceptivity. I remember years ago under perceptivity, I had a boss who rated my perceptivity skills actually quite high. He said I had very good gut or good intuition around what was going on and what was sort of happening around me, right? In terms of not only the people, but the dynamics and how we were getting results. So that was, you know, that was an interesting one because I hadn't actually ever been measured on perceptivity prior to that. Then we also picked from ones like organization and planning, creativity, versatility, reading the system. And I'll give you a quick example of this. It was years ago, I was working for an organization in the grocery industry, and we had a unionized staff. And what we would do is every January, because again, in the grocery industry, you're pretty busy leading up until Christmas, and then things kind of quiet down January, February, March. And so we would make all of our changes inside the organization. So structural changes, people changes, January and February. But then we'd have our annual general meeting in March, where we also had the elections for the next board of directors. And so, of course, if we made too many changes that our union wasn't happy with, that would influence the voting that they were doing in terms of who got into the board and what results we were getting in terms of who was sort of overseeing the organization. And so I was new to the organization. I, you know, first year I figured this out. I was reading the system. I was looking at it going, why are we making these changes just in time to upset everybody for election time? Right. So we completely, based on me reading the system, changed things around so that we would make our changes post annual general meeting. So we'd start making our changes in April and May as opposed to beforehand where people were upset. Because, again, you know, as human beings, we don't like change. Right. So why would we upset everybody prior to them having to vote? And so some of the other ones that we had to pick from were team building, decision making and problem solving, leadership, spoken communication, coping and decisiveness. Now you'll recognize that we had spoken communication separately from written communication. Because again, if you're in sales, maybe it's the spoken, depending if you're an outside salesperson, that's important. But written communication might be more important if it's a department full of analysts. And how are they reporting things back in a written form? So that was the master list. There's quite a few of them here. And we, like I said, we would pick somewhere between 6 or 8 of them. 3 to 4 were always the same. They were corporate. This is what we decided corporately was going to be, our key competencies for everybody in the organization, no matter what level. And then we'd have 3 or 4 more, either specific to the job or specific to the job category. Now, what we would do is we would insert those 8 competencies into an annual performance appraisal template. Right. And really what we had on the template, we, as I said earlier, we kept it pretty simple. We had our main objectives. So, you know, these are the objectives agreed upon by the employee during the work planning process at the beginning of the appraisal period. Right. So what are the objectives that that employee is going to achieve? You know, so I've got a great executive assistant with me here. Right. And as soon as she started with me, you know, we laid out kind of what the main objectives were going to be for the next year for her as we're moving forward, which kind of roll up into what the corporate objectives are here at Sonic Coaching. So then from there, the next page was accomplishment in the appraisal period. Right. So if we had a quarterly review or a, you know, twice a year, so semi-annual review, we would, review kind of, okay, what was accomplished? So how much, you know, how close are they to the target? Did they accomplish maybe 1 or 2 of them? Are there some that haven't been started? What do we need to do to get things refocused and get things moving forward? Then the third page was competencies necessary to successfully meet the objectives. That's the competencies. I just gave you that master list. So this would be where there's 8. You know, and the company that I was in where we last used this template, you know, our top 4 for the organization were taking ownership, being a team player, attendance, and change management, right? We're going through a lot of change, so we needed people to be able to handle change and adapt to change. And then the 4 that I had, and I had broken them down to, I had a district manager team that was reporting to me. And so my district managers had assertiveness, energizing, goal setting, and leadership. You know, I thought those were the 4 that I wanted to measure for my DM team. And then finally, the last page was development needs and opportunities. And so this was, you know, those areas that were identified as an area requiring development to meet objectives, or self-identified by the employee as an area for career development, something that they wanted to strive for or move forward to. You know, years ago, I'll give you another example of this. Years ago, I had a lady that had been with the organization for about approximately 15 years. She had applied just when I got there as the new leader. She had applied for the next level position. But as I, you know, took her through the interview process, I realized there was some gaps. Like, she didn't have the computer skills required, first of all, for that new position. So without the computer skills, I was setting her up to fail by promoting her. And then there was 2 or 3 other areas that we identified where she needed to, you know, possibly spend some time. I think just off the top of my head, I think one was around organization, right? So we identified that she needed to take a course on organization and effectively staying organized. And so I laid out those 4 gaps for her in terms of why she wasn't going to get the position, but she worked towards them. And so those were development needs and opportunities that we'd identified. We supported her. We paid for the education. You know, we had certain criteria in that company. One was that you actually had to pass the course. And so, you know, the next time a similar position became available, she applied again. And lo and behold, she got the position, right? Because she had taken that feedback. We'd helped her with the development needs, and she moved forward. So great conversations can happen around development needs and opportunities. And then finally, you know, we had the final page where the supervisor signs off and the employee signs off. And these were, you know, another area we had supervisor comments. So the overall kind of overall comments by the supervisor, overall comments by the employee during that review period, and both parties would sign off on that and date it. So that's kind of the template we used. It worked very well. It worked well because I was having ongoing communication with my team anyway, right? So there was nothing really new or surprising here. You know, I can share with you that there was a different company that I joined. And at the end of the first year, I had an assistant that was working for me. And she was doing a fantastic job. She was amazing. And she had created so many systems, and she was just brilliant at creating new processes and systems and you know, to help me stay organized and help the organization move forward. And so I did her annual review, fully anticipating somebody had actually sat down with her at some point. She'd been with the company 5 years. And at the end of it, she started to cry. She started to, literally started bawling in my office. And I said to her, I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm really okay." She said, "Like, this is the first time in 5 years anybody's told me that I'm doing a good job." And I was horrified. It was like in 5 years, she's reported to various different leaders in that organization. And in 5 years, nobody had ever bothered to sit down with this lady, never mind on an annual basis, but just on an ongoing basis, to tell her she was doing a fantastic job, which she was, and she cared. And by the way, I've long left that organization. I've stayed in touch with her over the years. She's been promoted. She's moved up through the ranks, and she's still in that company to this day. So not only was she a great employee, but she was a loyal employee. And so, you know, back to my original, you know, statistics that I shared with you from Dr. Paul White, who wrote the 5 appreciation languages in the workplace, you know, 2 out of 3 people in North America report they received no recognition or appreciation for their work in the last year, right? Well, there's an example of somebody who hadn't received anything in 5 years. And so, you know, if you've got gaps, you want to start looking at how you're communicating with your team, what's your annual review process? And that's why I'm such a big fan of properly developed good communication and good review processes in companies, because, you know, whether we want to get rid of them or not, because we say they're dinosaurs, I can tell you that my experience was I had a lady cry in my office because she felt so valued and so appreciated for doing a great job in the organization. And so that's why I'm a big fan of reviews. I'm a big fan of the feedback system and ongoing communication. Now, I promised you that, you know, we'd send you the key competencies. It's a 4-page document. And so if you'd like a copy of that, just email us. The email is info@sonickcoaching.com. And Sonic and coaching are they're one word together, obviously, but there's 2 C's in the middle there. So info@sonickcoaching.com. Send us an email. We'll gladly just add, you know, just put in the subject line key competencies, and we will gladly send you a copy, a PDF document of these competencies that I've used throughout my career. And so you can start incorporating them into a proper performance evaluation process. So that's the end of our show. Thanks very much for listening. And just want to let you know that I am super excited because our next show is going to be What Makes You Different. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time with you helping you understand how are you different than your competitors. And I'm not talking about how do you think you're different. How are you really different than your competitors? So thanks, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.